This is the Janet Murray Show, episode 276.
You're listening to the Janet Murray Show. Tune in every week for practical marketing advice that will help you make more money in your business. And now, here's your host, Janet Murray.
Hello and welcome to the show. This episode is part of a series of podcasts I'm doing as live on-air coaching calls with small business owners. So what I'll be doing over the next few months is inviting business owners who belong to my membership community, the Love Marketing membership. So I'll be inviting them on the show and we'll be working live together on a very specific challenge that they're facing in their business. So you may already have listened to episode 270 with Helen Nurse, and we talked about how Helen could scale her business fast and gave Helen lots of ideas on how she could do that. In this episode, I'm going to be talking with Ali Ribchester. So Ali is a member of the Love Marketing membership, which is the main way that I work with my clients. She's also actually just about to start working with me in one of my group masterminds as well. I've been working with Ali for a while. So she makes and sells handmade children's clothes. And her challenge, the thing that we look at in this episode, is how she can tell her story. So how she can use her personal story and the story of her business to sell more of her handmade clothes. So if you are somebody that has been thinking to yourself, I really want to share my personal story on social media or in my email marketing or my newsletter, or I'm not sure if I want to share my story, I'm not sure what parts of my story I should be sharing, I'm not sure how open or honest I can be, this is definitely going to be enlightening for you. And as Ali says at the end of this episode, she gets an awful lot of value from the episode, but it's not what she's expecting at all. So the advice that I share with her is not what she's expecting, but actually it makes things much easier than she was expecting. And by the end of this short episode, you'll hear that she is feeling much more positive and less overwhelmed about how she's going to use her story to sell in her business. As ever, I do love hearing from you. As this is a new style of podcast, I would like to get your feedback on whether you find these coaching calls useful. I've got a number lined up for you over the summer months, so that's 2018 if you're listening in the future. You can drop me a line at janet@janetmurray.co.uk, but I do get a lot of emails, and so it can take me a little while to get back to you. So if there's a quick bit of feedback that you want to give me, then just jump over to Twitter. It's @Jan_Murray. You can find me also over on Instagram @JanMurrayUK, on Facebook, Janet Murray UK, and I'll get back to you quickly if you can get hold of me on social media, probably quicker than I will do on email. But I do love hearing from you. So please, if you hear anything on a podcast that strikes a chord with you or you've got a question that you want to ask me, then I'm around. Come and talk to me on social media. And now on with the main part of the show. Welcome to the show, Ali.
Hello, hi, thanks for having me on.
So might you be able to start by telling us a little bit about you and your business?
Sure, so I'm Ali and I run Tutti Frutti Clothing, which is a children's brand for 0 to 10 year olds. And everything is handmade by me in organic and eco-friendly fabric.
Fab, okay. And what inspired you to start your business?
So I've got 3 children. They're 4, 6 and 8. And I just like them in bright, comfy clothes. And I didn't like what was in the shops. So I decided to start sort of making my own. And it went from there, started at craft fairs and small local markets, and then branched out into online about 2 years ago. And it's just taken off from there.
Wow. Okay. So the question that you wanted to tackle on today's call is, how can you use stories to sell your products? Have I got that right?
Yes, that's right. Yes.
So can you tell us a little bit more? So when you say stories, what exactly do you mean?
So I read a lot and I listen to loads of podcasts and things about how you can engage customers with your own stories of how your product can help them in a way, using stories of how it helps you and that kind of thing. And I'm kind of still learning. I'm still on that journey. So I really want to know whether, you know, how to get people to come on that journey with me, whether I need to have finished the journey and then tell them about it or not. So I mostly make things, it's all organic and eco-friendly, but it didn't used to be. That's only in the last or coming up for a year. So I don't know whether to sort of push that bit and tell people why I've changed to more eco-friendly fabrics and that kind of stuff, or whether I need to have be a total green eco-friendly person myself before I can talk about that kind of stuff.
That's really, really interesting. Okay, so I just want to take a few steps back so that we just kind of know, we
we've kind of got the basics and we know where we're starting. So in terms of who would you say is your ideal customer at the moment? Who is buying from you right now?
Parents buy from me who like their children to wear bright leggings, really, and have a slant towards a more ethical production of clothing rather than mass-produced high street supermarket stuff.
And how do your prices compare to, let's say, I don't know, Primark or Asda or something like that?
It's a lot more expensive. So my newborn leggings, so newborn up to 6 months, is £14 for a pair of leggings.
Okay.
Whereas, yeah.
Yeah.
So it's quite a lot more.
So what do you think that tells you about your buyers?
Well, I used to think that they had they would have quite a lot of disposable income to be able to afford that on a pair of leggings. But actually, I'm starting to see people who buy sort of their child's entire season's wardrobe with me and buy just a few pieces, but they will last their child for that season. So it's probably no more in the long run. They don't buy loads. They just buy a few pieces.
So, sounds to me like what you're saying is that these are people who value quality over quantity. They also care about, like, they would rather buy something and pay a little bit more for it and have it last longer, and they would rather buy less. So that tells us something about their values, I think. And are they generally people who they're doing so for environmental reasons, do you think? Or is it money, or is it a mixture of the two?
I think it's a mixture. When I have a Facebook group, and when I went out to them looking for sort of ideas for new slogans for the brand and things, the organic and the ethical side didn't feature as heavily as I thought it would. Most of it was about the fun, bright prints and the fact that it's all made for boys and girls. I don't have like a girls range and a boys range. It's just clothes, which surprised me because I was kind of heading down the eco-friendly route. But actually, they weren't, although they liked that aspect of it, it wasn't their top priority.
Mm. I mean, first off, I'd just say well done for going out to them and asking them, because I think that is a really important thing to do, because a lot of people just carry on blindly making things and selling things without actually taking the time to go back and talk to their audience.
Yeah.
And it sounds like what you discovered there was something that surprised you, that actually the gender neutral side of it is something that actually is quite important to your customers.
Yes, yeah, which did surprise me, because I was convinced it was more about everything being organic, but it's not.
And that's really interesting, because I posted something in our Facebook group, didn't I, recently? So Ali's a member of my membership community, which is now called the Love Marketing membership, as when this goes live, formerly the Soulful PR Studio. And I posted that I can't remember what I was doing, but I was looking for examples of business owners who were creating effective blog content. And I was looking at one of your blog posts, which was about, can boys wear leggings?
Yes.
As well as girls?
Yeah.
That wasn't it. And it came up top for that search term. It came up top on the first page of Google. And that made me think, that's interesting, because it sounds like that could be, those sort of values could be something that could be important to Ali's buyers. So that's quite interesting, isn't it?
Yes, definitely. Yeah, it was really interesting that was such a good blog post that people go and find. Yeah.
So I think when it comes to using stories to sell your products, I think what you've done, actually, you've already taken the right steps, because you've actually talked to your audience and you've tried to find out, I think, values. You probably hear me keep saying values all the time. I think it's really important that when we're thinking about ideal customer, I think often people think that they have to be a certain demographic. So our ideal customers are, you know, she's called Sally, she's 25 to 45, she drives this kind of car, she shops at Waitrose, and sometimes people can get really obsessed with that. And I actually think sometimes people get obsessed with selling to an ideal customer that they want to sell to, rather than going, actually, who is buying from me right now?
Yes.
And how can I attract more of those people? That's basically would be my approach to marketing and sales. So I think the more that we can keep going back and we can keep asking. And I think, when it comes to ideal customers, often it isn't necessarily about kind of demographics. It's about shared values and, you know, people who have a shared outlook on the world and things that they think are important. So it sounds like, from what you're saying, it sounds like there's two things that come out really, really strongly. So the first thing is this group, they value quality over quantity. They would like to spend more on handmade products that last for longer, maybe that they can pass down or resell. I think you've mentioned that to me before, that sometimes do your audience resell their clothes?
Yeah, there's huge resale groups on various platforms, Facebook, social platforms, Facebook and Instagram, of people reselling handmade clothes. So So those people also buy the new clothes. So it's a big market, yeah.
Yeah, so it sounds like that's what they value, quality over quantity, but definitely. Also they're interested in gender-neutral clothes. So I think that they seem to be the two things, and from talking to you today, but also just from watching you and watching your Instagram and talking to you in the group or whatever, they seem to be two really important things. So I think when it comes to your stories, that's where you need to start. So I think the thing about using stories in your marketing is that people need to identify with those stories. Now, I don't know, did you take part in my Facebook page engagement challenge that I did a little while back?
Yes, I did. I don't think I did every day, though.
The important thing was I shared that there's three types of content, I think, that work really well for engagement on social media. And they work well for engagement. And obviously, then they can lead to sales. If you can engage people on social media, then obviously the next step is to sell to them. So the first one is what I generally refer to is that this is what I need right now type content. So your blog post, which was about can boys wear leggings too, I say that's that kind of content. So it's kind of like...
I think I used that in the challenge. And I think that as part of the challenge, that was one of the things I put up and it generated huge amounts of comments. But then I didn't really do much with it.
Yeah, exactly. And it's because it's really helpful content. So it actually answers the question that people have got. I mean, the thing with these three types I'm going to share with you, they do cross over. And sometimes you'll find you have posts which kind of fit into two. And I think this is the case with this one, actually. What reason it probably worked really well was because not only was it giving useful information, but it was also eliciting an opinion from people, and which is like the second type. So the first type is like, this is what I need to know right now. So, you know, when I create I've got a podcast episode out today, which is about how to handle sales objections. And that is a classic kind of, this is what I need to know right now. I've got this problem. This piece of content is going to solve it. So that can work well. But actually, that's the hardest to promote on social media. We can talk about that more later. But I think your kind of content falls into the second or third, which are much easier actually to promote. So the second one is I know about that. So this is where you share a piece of content where other people, you know, you ask their opinion. So, you know, you might post up, you're researching some material for some new leggings. Should you buy this material or should you buy that material? So you're getting your audience involved in the process. Would they prefer you to make the leggings with this or that? Would they prefer this print or that print? If you're making gender neutral clothing, then which colours do they feel, you know? So there's no end to the kind of, you know, content that you can create around that. And that's really, you know, that's stories. You know, you're creating stories every single day. And anything where you're asking people for their opinion, basically. So over the... How did you phrase it when you did the post about the boys and leggings? How did you frame that?
I think I literally just, I had a blog post, which was my opinion, which was that, yes, boys can wear leggings. And then I just put that out there and just said, can boys wear leggings? Yes or no? What do you think? And it just, and people started posting pictures of their children in leggings. Here's my boy in his leggings, all this kind of stuff. So yeah, it was quite interesting to see. That's the only post that's ever done that.
Yeah. And I think...
I've never replicated it since.
Well, I think that's it. If you're seeing a type of content that does really well, you have to try and do more of that. We can talk about what sort of other things that you could do. I think it worked because it's obviously a useful piece of content that people can go and read. Obviously, you had a blog post as well you could send people onto. But also, it's something that people had an opinion about. And also, if you can get people to share photos and get involved on that level, you know, that's brilliant. So the third type of content, so we've got... this is what I need right now. So this is your kind of informative stuff. Then you've got, I know about that. So you're asking people to give an opinion or to get involved or share their stories. I mean, the best way sometimes to use your own stories is to get people to share theirs, but we can talk more about that.
Okay.
And then the last one is, I know how that feels. So this will be where you might take a conversation. So say, for example, you were at playgroup or something and with one of your children and you overheard a conversation or you got involved in a conversation where somebody was saying, well, that's just ridiculous, how can boys wear leggings or something like that. Then you actually take that story. For me, everything is a content opportunity. Everything that happens to me is a content opportunity. So, and we can talk about some of the, I mean, there are some kind of challenges around that, you know, in terms of identity and things like that, but we can talk more about that. But I would be sort of looking out for things that happen, so conversations that you see maybe on Facebook or conversations that you have in real life with real people around some of the issues that you know your audience would be interested in. That's like a classic example, boys, of, like, you know, I was at a play group and somebody said to me, oh, boys can't wear leggings, and, you know, so that would be, so you're looking for things where people might empathize. And they might be able to say, oh, yeah, even if I haven't experienced that myself, I know what that feels like. And because you're making children's clothes, that doesn't necessarily have to be specifically about children's clothes. It could be just about something that's happened to your child. So it could be, I don't know, at Christmas, you know, your child's been picked to play the lead part and then they've been bumped down to second lead or something like that, and how you feel about that. Or it could be about at what age they're, you know, it's appropriate for them to start to learn to read. I remember when my daughter started to learn to read, and the school, they basically banned the kids from learning to read too early. So just thinking about, you know, the things that are going on in your life, I think you're probably, you know, like your
you know. Oh, see, yeah, because I always try to bring it back to the clothes that I make, which I think is maybe where I'm struggling then, is that it doesn't, other people will be parents, so it could just be about children in general. Doesn't actually, oh, okay, it's a bit of a light bulb moment.
Yeah. It doesn't always have to, you know. I mean, I would say, you know, 80-20 rule, you do want to be talking about your products and services, yeah, you know, whenever you can. But at the same time, what you want to do is build a relationship with people, and people like to do business with people. So they want to do business with Ali, who's like them. You know, she has, you know, yeah. I'm a mum, I've got an older child, I've got a teenager, but, you know, I've just been sat talking to my designer before we got on this call about my daughter wants to go somewhere that I don't really want her to go. And I'm trying to navigate that really tricky period of giving her freedom, but not putting her in situations that I think are dangerous. So, and I think that I asked on Twitter the other week, actually, my daughter wants to watch Love Island. Do you think she should or not? That I got the most engagement I've ever got on a Twitter post by asking that. So actually, it's just remembering that I think people do business with people that they like and that they feel they can relate to. So I'm not saying that you share all of your children or your family's private secrets or whatever, but where you feel it's appropriate and where you feel that you could add value or start a, you know, a healthy discussion that's going to kind of keep bringing people closer to you. Does that kind of make sense?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, that's something I can really go with as well.
Yeah,
and
do you feel, I mean, do you feel comfortable with sharing stories? Because I know sometimes people feel a bit like, oh, I don't know, I don't, I know you do, we've talked about this before, you do share pictures of your children on social media, don't you, and you do talk about them.
Yeah, I do talk about them because they're quite integral to what I do, really. So, and they're always around, I suppose, that they're there. And I think there's a limit. I was listening to something that said there was a limit between sharing personal stuff and sharing private stuff, and how it was, they were actually different. I think someone did say to me, oh, because we're having building work done, a house or home extension, it feels like I know you through so much through your Instagram stories. And my mum was stood there, and my mum said, well, you don't actually know her, do you? My mother becoming really protective.
But I think it's selective, isn't it? Because I've got friends who are not related to my online life whatsoever. And they would say to me, you share a lot of things on social media. And I said, actually, I don't. Like, I share the things that I want to share and I feel are appropriate to share, but I'm not going to share that I had a row with my husband or I told my daughter off because she didn't tidy her room. Well, I've just shared it now, but but what I'm saying is, it's about you're in control, you know, you're deciding.
And I do ask my children. My eldest is 8 now, and he has said he doesn't want to be in the photos anymore, and that's absolutely fine. That's no problem at all. So I'm going to start looking for a photographer and using other children. I've already got other people lined up and doing things for me, so it's not always mine.
And I think it's like having that conversation, because my daughter will sometimes say to me, I'll ask her, like, oh, we're doing this, would it be okay? And she'll say, yeah, I'd like to do that. But sometimes she says, no, I don't want to do that, in which case, or she says, can I see the photo, whatever. And I think it's just having that conversation. But for me, it's not about only showing the good bits, but it's just about, you know, what you want to share and what you want to keep private, and you know, and you've thought about that, and you know, I think that's all fine. So in terms of using your story, I definitely think you should be using your story about how you started your business. How much do you use that in your marketing?
Hardly at all. I think because it was a couple of years ago, it sort of dropped off my radar as something to keep bringing up. I just don't. Yeah.
I mean, I feel like you should be sharing that story much more.
Okay.
About how you started the business, because you were struggling. That's how a lot of businesses start, isn't it? You're struggling with something and yourself, and you can't find what it is that you're looking for. So you make it yourself. I mean, that's like a classic sort of business story. And I do feel like, you know, I've got a story that I tell all the time on practically every podcast interview that I do. Where people say, how did you start your business? Well, I was a journalist. I was working as a journalist. I saw all these dreadful press releases that were coming through, and it used to annoy me because I used to think that these people were paying, you know, small business owners paying for people, you know, paying for companies to do this for them. And as a journalist, I felt a bit outraged by this, and I thought, I can help these people. And I've told that story so many times, but it's not you know, not everybody's heard it. So I think actually reminding people of the values behind your business and why you do what you do, I think could be really, really, really valuable. And there's so many ways that you could do that. I mean, you could do a post where you say, this is why I started my business. Do you run a business? Like, what motivated you? Or you could say, my business started from a problem that I was having. You know, what problem would you love to solve as a parent? Like, I remember doing a post once about how my biggest frustration as a parent, it shows that I haven't got much to worry about, is socks. Like, if somebody could deliver me like a week's worth of socks, white socks, every Monday, that would make my life like much easier. And then and then they could sort of have a solution for it, so that I didn't feel like I was like wrecking the planet or something. But you know, like just sort of getting conversations going about, you know, as a parent, what frustrates you the most? This frustrated me. This is why I started my business. I mean, there's just so many ways that you could take that story and just do different things with it, basically. Does that kind of make sense?
Yes. Yeah. You just kind of forget that's part of the story. I was kind of thinking more of where I am now and getting people to the point where I am now, and sort of forgotten the journey that I've been on. And not everybody who starts finding out about my brand necessarily know the beginning, that it's okay to keep saying things.
Yeah, and you mentioned at the beginning, you said, oh, do I need to wait until I'm at the end of my journey? I think no, like you take people on the journey, take people on the journey with you.
Yeah,
you know, so you're evolving, like you're learning. Like on this podcast, we're learning about your audience and we're learning about how they've got these two, you know, main values. One of them is quality over quantity, and the other one is actually gender neutral clothing. Like they don't want to put their kids in, by the sounds of it, they don't want to put them in pink or blue or whatever, and they, you know, that's really important to them. So I mean, sharing that, you know, that you've learned this and finding it, asking them more and trying to understand more about it, you know, the gender neutral thing, I think, could really make you stand out. And you know, that blog post that I found of yours that was at the top on the first page of Google, I was like, ah, this could really make Ali stand out if she was to do more with this. So do you have any ideas as to any other content you could create around that?
About gender neutral stuff?
Yeah,
I think slogans are a big thing. So none of the clothes that I make have slogans on at all. And I think I would get really frustrated with T-shirts that say Daddy's Little Princess and all that kind of stuff on. So I was thinking maybe using something like that. There's, you know, and you could get pictures of them from the supermarkets and say, you know, does anyone else feel the same? Sort of really winds me up. And I think just generally things like the difference. My little girl just had a birthday this weekend and we're looking for some clothes. And once you get to, she's six now, there's a real difference in the high street and the types of clothes that are available, and they become like little grown-up clothes. And so I was looking for a pair of leggings for her, because I used to buy her stuff, don't just make it all. But the ones I liked only came with a sports vest with a crop top. And I was like, she's six. Who? So I could use that kind of thing to because I'm sure there's other people who have opinions like that. And I was thinking about when people asked what I wanted, what she might like for her birthday, I had to say to quite a lot of them, like, please don't buy her makeup, because I don't want her wearing makeup at six. Even, and the stuff that she picked out of the Argos catalogue that we gave her to have a look through to get some ideas, she picked out great big makeup sets and stuff. I thought, you're way too young to have all that. So kind of a keeping them as children and not letting them become little grown-ups too quickly is something I think probably get quite a lot of comments and reactions.
Yeah, and that's your story. You know, when you talk about your business story, like that's your journey. You know, you're going on that, and as your children are getting older, there's new parts of the story coming in, because there's new challenges. Like I've got a 12 going on 13 year old, and now we're having this thing about, you know, crop tops, and you know, she bought this off the shoulder top, which I thought was kind of okay, but then she wanted to wear it with leggings showing up, and I was like, no, that's not okay. You know, your story is evolving, you know, and I guess you'll probably find that does influence on your impact on your work and the kind of clothes that you're making. But I think this whole business about, you know, people don't want you to be selling to them all the time, but they do want to be getting to know you, and they do want to be having conversations with you, so that you're basically, when they do have a need and they do need to buy some new leggings, or they do want to get something gender neutral or whatever as a gift for a friend or whatever, then you are top of mind. So does that kind of make sense in terms of, you know, you don't have to be making, I'm a big one for saying make offers all the time, but actually just putting your content out there, starting conversations and being around is really important too.
Yes. I think it's really important to just, well, because I'm kind of thinking, if I buy those clothes and I like those things, then I need to find more people maybe like me, and then they'll relate to me. And then, like you say, think of my stuff when they want to buy presents or for their own children.
Yeah. I mean, it's basically content marketing. And one last thing I wanted to say is, I mean, I say this all the time, but everything is a content opportunity. So I think because of my background in journalism, I just see everything around me as stories. So everything that goes on, everything that happens to me, I think, oh, you know, so you might have seen I put on my Facebook page last week. So I was actually filling in for an editor at The Guardian doing some editing shifts. I needed to get my eyebrows threaded, that's the word.
Yes.
And I booked in at this really expensive place at St Pancras Station, and it was a really hectic day, everything was going wrong, it was a good day, and as I ran down to make this appointment, and the woman wouldn't do my eyebrows for me, she said that she would only wax them and she wouldn't thread them for me. And I said, but I've never had any problems with them before and I don't have skin problems. But she said, no, your eyebrows are too thick, your skin is too thin. And I ended up leaving, and as I was leaving, she said to me, do you know, I've never had to turn anyone away in 13 years, which is just awful. And so this thing that happened to me, which was seemingly unrelated to my business, as I was walking out of there, I was thinking to myself, like, I was kind of annoyed because I'd like legged it out of the office on a day that everything was really stressful. And I don't do much of that kind of thing anyway. So working in an office even a few days is quite stressful for me anyway. But then I was kind of thinking, well, I can kind of see her point, because as a business owner myself, I think it's important that you do, you know, that you do stick by your principles. And if you don't think it's right to do something for somebody, you should say, and you shouldn't just take somebody's money. And but by the time I got back to the office, I was like, oh, that's going to be a great social media post. So I went locally and had my eyebrows threaded, a local threading bar, and I got the lady next to me to take a photo of me. And I said, I know this probably sounds really mad, but can you take a photo of me having my eyebrows threaded? And that post, which was, you know, ostensibly about me getting turned down, embarrassingly had my eyebrows threaded, actually turned into probably my best performing piece of content on my Facebook page. And I was able to find a way to bring it back to my business. I didn't make any offers there, but I just said, look, I think this brings up a really interesting point about integrity. And I turned it on the audience. I think this is the key thing. It's not talking about you, it's my story, but actually making it their story and saying, what do you do? Have you ever turned anyone away? And what happened? And I think that's a really key thing. Like when we think about telling our story, actually what we're really doing, if we want to really engage people, is making it their story, because people love telling their own stories. They love sharing their own experiences. So anytime that you are using something that's happened to you, and I think you do this naturally anyway, Ali, I just think you instinctively do this, but you turn it back to them, just like you did with the boys' leggings, and you say, what do you think?
Yeah.
So does that kind of make sense?
Yes. Yeah, that's really helpful. So getting them to talk about them and sort of weaving it all in, it's really interesting.
So if you're in a shop and you basically what I'm saying is, if you're in a shop and you see a daddy's little princess picture, it's just about seeing what's around you. There's content all around you, so just taking a picture of it and then putting it up on your Facebook page and said, I've seen this, what do you think about this? And you probably will find, like with the boys' legging ones, you'll get people who will then say, they'll probably post their own ones that they've seen, and you know, you're making it their story. So I feel like the content for this, you know, you might see news stories, you know, you might see things, you might read something in the news, you might see something on TV. I think the more that you can just kind of, now you know, I think clearly what your audience's core values are and what they're interested in, you probably find that it's just all around you, and that you'll actually, I imagine you'll be flooded with ideas, and you'll be like,
which is quite exciting. It's quite an exciting place to be.
So does that help? It feels like we've just kind of thrown a few ideas around, but does that kind of help you feel clearer about how you can use your story?
I mean, it's not what I was expecting at all. I thought I was going to have to start learning loads of things and really struggling to come up with ideas. So it's really useful to know that actually you could just use stuff around you and to take them with you on the journey. So it's been really helpful.
Then the ideas are all around you, and I know from working with you, I know how creative you are, and I know that you get it. So I think it's just a case of like just tuning in a little bit more. So when you're watching TV, when you're listening to the radio, when you're out and about, you know, with your children, almost just documenting. Gary Vaynerchuk talks about how we should be like documenting everything we do. And I'm not saying that we get straight into where you're sharing everything and everything. I remember you once saying that you had sore thumb from Instagramming so much.
Yeah.
When you first started on Instagram. And I was like, she's my kind of girl.
But I do love Instagram quite a lot.
But I sort of love that kind of commitment to it. But I think that this content is, it doesn't, I'm a big sort of fan of planning and thinking ahead. You know, we've got Wimbledon coming up as we're recording this, so anybody who's got any content that they can put on brand there, we've got the World Cup going on at the moment. Yeah, you know, I'm a big fan of kind of planning and thinking about sort of theme content like that. But actually, you know, I know that you walk out your door every day and there will be things that you'll be able to share with the audience that are relevant, and they allow you to tell your story, but also more importantly, I think, allow your audience to tell you their story. Because I feel like in my business, when I facilitate my audience to tell me their stories, to tell me their opinions, that's really when you make the connection, if that makes sense.
Yeah, definitely.
Fantastic.
Thank you.
Okay, so what do you think are going to be your takeaway points from our conversation? What are you going to do next?
I think I'm going to be a bit more aware of what's around me and not being sort of afraid to take photos and capturing moments and storing them for later to use as content, and thinking about how I can really use that, but also focusing on more on the gender neutral side of my business, which perhaps is the bit that people want more than what I thought they did, and just coming up with some more questions and ideas, and just I think posting more regularly as well with questions rather than broadcasting, which perhaps I've slipped into a bit. Just you say, don't ask questions, don't just sell all the time. And I think this is it's given me some really good ideas.
And even if you have a really great blog post, one thing that I've really learned is, so my blog post my podcast that got out today is out today as we're recording this, is how to deal with sales objections. So we do just post up on Facebook how to deal with sales objections, and we will get a couple of people might like it and click on it.
Yeah.
When I actually start a conversation about sales objections and I say something like, tell me about your sales objections, the ones that you get the most. I did it on my Twitter last night. So much more engagement. And then I just slip the link in at the end. And I think that sometimes it's just about kind of turning it around. Oh, there was one last thing I wanted to say about the gender neutral thing as well. Something happened to me years ago, actually, when I sent a friend a present and I sent her a pink baby outfit. I was just in Asda and I just picked up this thing, and I thought it was nice that I just picked up something and sent it to her.
Yeah.
And then I noticed she posted on Facebook to say, oh God, if one more person sends me something pink, I am not going to dress my children in pink. And I remember feeling quite hurt and offended, because I didn't know that she wanted to dress the kids in gender neutral clothes, and I'd taken the trouble to go and buy her a gift and send it, and it, you know, it hurt my feelings a bit. So I think, you know, that's something that you could open up for debate. You know, you could just say, you know, how do you tell people, you know, that kind of thing? You know, should you give it back? You know, that would be a good conversation. If someone gives you, if you don't want to dress your child in pink and somebody keeps sending you pink stuff, then what do you do with that stuff? And how do you handle that situation? That could be a really interesting conversation, I think.
Yeah, that's a really good one. I'll store that for later.
Fantastic. Okay.
Thank you.
I hope that's helpful. I'm looking forward to seeing how you get on. I know you're going to be working with me my mastermind over the next coming
years.
So I'm really looking forward to seeing how your content develops. But I know that you're really creative already, and I know that that you're just fly with this now. So I'm really glad.
Brilliant. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Ellie.
You've just been listening to The Janet Murray Show. If you enjoyed the show, you can show your appreciation by leaving a review on iTunes. And don't forget to head over to www.janetmurray.co.uk for more marketing tips that will help you make more money in your business.